Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. I am a human design and relationship coach, 6'2", manifesting generator, and total lover of life. If you want real solutions to real life problems, then you are in the right place. This podcast is dedicated to using human design, ancient teachings, and DNA activation to elevate both your relationship with yourself and the people around you. If you are willing to take action on the practical steps given in this podcast, I promise your life will change for the better. All you have to do is open your heart and mind, step beyond your fear, and activate the courage needed to create a life that you're excited to live. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, what is up? Welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I am so excited that you're here with us. And today, I'm going to talk about specifically the splenic center in human design. And this one, it's a big deal because this is where our fears are held. Okay, so when we talk about the splenic center in human design, when our splenic center is in alignment, we have this essence of joyfulness in our life. We're spontaneous, or where our physical health is on point. We feel very connected to our physical body. And as far as our relationship with time goes, we're very present. Like we can really be where our feet are. Okay. When this center is out of alignment, we end up falling into behaviors where we're trying to control everything in our life. We feel physically unhealthy because we just feel disconnected to our physical body. So it's hard for us to take care of our physical health and well-being because we feel very disconnected to our body. This is where a lot of anxiousness and worry comes up here because we are unable to be present. We're unable to be where our feet are because we're always thinking about the past and ruminating in that, or we're living for the future. And the big thing that comes up here is fear. Whenever I talk about centers in human design, I like to make it very clear that your centers are either running you or you're running them. And the thing that will run you, if you don't realize it, within the splenic center is fear. Fear. Now, fear is not a bad thing. It has gotten kind of a bad rap, but fear is not actually a bad thing. Fear is meant to be an activator. It's meant to move you. It's meant to move you closer towards whatever it is that you are building, creating in your life. So, but what happens is fear, it's when fear is unseen, when you don't see it for what it is, that is when it becomes destructive in your life and it actually starts to run you. So there's always two options within this splenic center. It's that you see the fear, you notice it, you recognize it for what it is, you utilize that as a catalyst or as a spark to move through it and get to the other side of it, which is where that spontaneity, that joy, that liberation, that peace and calm lives. Or you're going to sit in fear. You're going to live in fear because you don't see it. And fear is one of the most creative things that we have in our system. It will, like, because when you're sitting in fear, if you're not able to recognize it, it feels so real. And all of the excuses that you're making feel so valid. It feels so legitimate. And when one thing isn't working, it will jump to the next thing and get you to try to stop you there. And so when we don't have this awareness around our fear, then you stay stuck in it. You end up just spiraling and just staying stuck in the same behavior patterns, the same cycles, all of this, because you don't see it. If you were to see it, you'd be able to move through it, because the only way to the other side of fear is through. So there is no, I can just like see it and not do anything about it. Fear is meant to inspire action to get you to the other side of it. Okay. So This is just like, I'm taking this one angle on fear. Maybe I'll do another episode, but this is really important. So when we are working with this particular center, when we're working with the splenic center and we're working with fear specifically, we have to understand the process that fear is meant to take us on. Okay. So what happens is there's this energetic frequency chart that shows all of these different emotions that we are meant to experience as human beings. And there's these low frequency emotions like shame, guilt, anger, fear, pride, all of those. And then there's these really high frequency emotions like love, joy, peace, calm, like those types of things. Okay. And those are like very high frequency emotions. And there is a tipping point emotion. And that tipping point emotion that goes from low frequency to high frequency is courage. Okay. This is important. It is courage. So when we can act in courage, we have the ability to tip from low frequency to high frequency. And so this is how the fear is meant to work. If you're watching this on video, you can kind of see this little thing behind me, but is fear is meant to activate us. It's meant to show us our next step, the next step that we need to take. Because again, on the other side of fear is liberation, joy, peace, calm. There's always that sense of like, oh, I made it through it. And now I feel more powerful and more like I know what I'm capable of. And I like everything. And so think about a time when you overcame something, you overcame a fear. How did you feel on the other side? It's very, very rare that we feel worse about ourselves on the other side of fear. It's when we're sitting in fear that we feel worse about ourselves. So fear is actually meant to activate us to take action. We can use fear as a catalyst to make change in our life, because oftentimes we're not going to make a change unless we have a reason to. And fear is oftentimes the reason. We might do something because we're afraid of, you know, getting to the end of our life and saying, I didn't do enough. We might do something. We might finally make a change in our health because something scared the shit out of us. Maybe we were told that, you know, we have a certain diagnosis or something is happening. Like, and so it finally kicks you into action. So fear is always trying to do this. A lot of times we don't listen until the fear is so great that we have no choice but to listen, right? But if we can use fear in our everyday life, in and out, consistently, things might not have to get so dramatic before we choose to take action on our life. So the fear comes in. Something comes in. It's freaking us out. And we're like, okay, I am afraid to do this thing. I'm afraid to take action. Maybe it's an uncomfortable conversation. Maybe it's a step you know you need to take in your business. Like it can be anything, right? And so you say, okay, I see the fear. The next thing you have to do is fear is meant to activate you into courage. That's the point of the fear. The fear is meant to send you into courage, because the only way to the other side is for you to get courageous. And the way that I explain courage is going in direct opposition of what you would normally do. So to go into courage is usually very uncomfortable, and it's uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar. It's not the route that you would normally take. It's not the habitual behavior. It's not the reaction. It's the new, it's something that feels unfamiliar, and therefore it feels scary for us to take that route. So
courage can show up in so many different ways, meaning that let's say that you're having a conversation with your significant other, and normally when you get, you know, upset about something, you shut down and you stop talking. Well, the courageous thing for you to do in that moment would be to speak up and to keep moving through, as uncomfortable as it is, right? If normally you are, you know, the person that walks into a room and you are just like trying to be heard and you never stop talking, then the courageous thing to do would be to be quiet and focus on listening rather than speaking. So courage, it shows up. It doesn't matter. There's no specific, like, specific action. Like, this is a courageous action and this is not. It's simply going in direct opposition of what you would normally do. So if, again, you normally react a certain way when something happens, maybe, you know, somebody cuts you off, and normally you're going to get pissed off and you're going to be like, you're going to flick them off or whatever that looks like. Instead, can you take a breath and say, you know what? Maybe they didn't mean to. I'm going to let it go. That would be the courageous thing to do. So courage, again, there's no specific formula here. It's just going in direct opposition of what you would normally do, because what you would normally do isn't getting you the results that you want. What you would normally do is going to keep you in the same cycle of behavior. It's going to keep you in these same behavior patterns, and therefore it's going to keep you stuck. And that's what our ego would love for us to do, is to stay stuck, because even though it might be uncomfortable to be stuck, it's familiar. Even though you might not like where you're at, it's familiar, and our ego would rather stay in a familiar hell than go to an unfamiliar heaven. So your ego is always going to try to get you to do the same thing to keep you stuck. And so we really have to activate this courageous part of ourselves that says, what I'm doing isn't working. This particular pathway that I keep taking over and over and over again is getting me the exact same results. So how could I do, what would be the most uncomfortable thing I could do? Because I promise you that that is courage. Whatever feels like the most uncomfortable thing that you could do, the thing that you have the most resistance to doing, that is the courageous action for you. And that will get you to the other side of fear. Why this is so difficult is because there's something that lives, there's this tricky little emotion that lives right below courage. Okay? So it's technically a low frequency emotion, and it is pride. So we have to, when fear comes in, we have to overcome our pride in order to activate our courage. And there will be an internal conflict within you that happens. I promise you this is going to happen, where your pride is going to try to get the best of you. Because pride is where we get to. It's the highest of the low frequency emotions. So it feels better than sitting in shame or guilt or anger or fear. It feels better than sitting there. But pride is all based on allowing your ego to run the show. When we're sitting in pride, we actually are sitting in denial. We're in denial of our character defects. We're in denial of the fact that maybe something is our responsibility. We're in denial. We refuse to see that maybe, just maybe, we're actually the problem, not everybody else. So pride, you can either have your pride or you can act in courage. They do not live together. They cannot live simultaneously. So oftentimes the reason that we have such a hard time accessing courage is because it requires us to bypass our pride. It requires us to go from needing to be right to doing what is right. It requires us to not for it to be about winning, but for it to be about what is best for everybody involved here. And oftentimes it requires us to admit that what we're doing is destructive, that the way in which we're operating is destructive to both ourselves and the people around us. It requires us to see things about ourselves that we don't often want to see. And so when we sit in pride, it feels pretty good. But it only feels good because you're sitting in denial. And so when we sit in denial, it's destructive. Always. And so we have to overcome that pride, activate our courage, which then, on the other side of courage, is liberation, love, peace, calm, all these things, all of these really high frequency emotions that we want to experience and feel. Okay? So it's so important that you see the difference, because fear is only destructive when we refuse to see it. When we can see that we are sitting in fear, when we can call the fear out, when we can call it to the surface, then we are able to move through it and it no longer has power over us. But if we don't see it, if we leave it in the shadows, it grows and it gets bigger and makes everything scarier. And then it starts to dictate what we do and what we don't do. And it starts to run us rather than us running it. So fear is a beautiful thing as long as we are willing to see it. As long as we can see it. Because then all we have to do is think about the next action. So there's always has to be an action associated with it in order to move through it. So it's, hey, I see that I'm afraid. I see that I'm sitting in fear. What is the next one courageous action that I could take in this moment to move through it? And then you do it, and then you get to the other side. And then every time you do it, it becomes easier and easier. But fear is not going anywhere. It's an emotion just like any other emotion. So you can't fight it. You can't fight it and try to never experience it, because that's not the reality of our human experience. We're going to feel fear. And when people say fearless, it doesn't mean that it's in the absence of fear. It means that you feel the fear and you choose to move forward anyways. And that's what this is all about. Acknowledging it and feeling it and seeing it and then being like, I know this is scary for me because it's unfamiliar, but I know what lives on the other side of it, and I'm willing to take the courageous action. I'm willing to step beyond my pride and take the courageous action to get there. So, how do you know when you're sitting in fear? How do you know when you're sitting in fear? Because what's really comical is that once you realize that you're sitting in fear and you say, what am I afraid of? And you talk it out with someone or you write it in a journal of like, what is the fear? It's not logical. Fear is not logical by any means. And so you're able to like write it down and be, and then you get to say, okay, like a lot of times you can laugh at it because it's just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And just by being willing to see it and putting pen to paper or talking it through with someone, you can talk yourself out of the fear and just be like, okay, I realize why this feels scary to me. I see it, but I'm going to move forward anyways, because that's just silly, right? Like, it's really oftentimes very silly. So how do we know? Knowing your fear signs and symptoms are so, it's so important. It's the first step. Whenever I work with anybody in the splenic center, the first step we take is we need to understand the signs and symptoms of your fear. And the way that I usually see this is that some people overfunction, some people underfunction, most people pendulum swing between the two. And then there's these emotional signs. So let's like walk through those a little bit so that you can have an understanding of when you are sitting in fear. So when I say fear, when you're sitting in what feels like overwhelm, what feels like anxiety, or what feels like worry, those are all ways that you're sitting in fear. It all comes back to fear. Okay. So again, anxiousness, fear. I'm worried about something, fear. I feel overwhelmed, fear. Okay. So let's talk about what these different ones mean. So when somebody is overfunctioning, if they're an overfunctioner, they're going to start to micromanage everything. They are going to want to try to take control of any type of situation. They're going to start to try to make everything perfect. Like, they really go into this micromanaging type of behavior pattern where they want to tell everybody what to do. They want to tell everybody what to do and how to do it because it makes them feel like they're in control. And control is one of those things that gives us a false sense of security. And so they're trying to create an atmosphere that they feel more in control of, because the fear is making them feel chaotic or out of control in some way, shape, or form. So this is I like to say this is like when you are distracting yourself, or you're avoiding, or you're numbing out through action. So it's distraction through action is overfunctioning, meaning that you might be the person that when you are sitting in fear, you begin to overfunction and you start to avoid, like, you will not be alone. You'll stay as busy as you possibly can. You will fill your schedule with everything so that there's no downtime. You might throw yourself into your work. You might do like compulsive types of cleaning. You might go and work out. Like, but ultimately what you're doing is you're trying to distract yourself from the discomfort of the fear, because fear creates a very uncomfortable feeling within our body, and we would rather run away from it than sit in it. And so we do whatever we possibly can to disconnect from our body. And so we start to avoid and try to distract ourselves through some sort of action. Okay. So that's kind of like overfunctioning. Underfunctioning, this is when we spin into paralysis. This is when we begin to start to overthink and overanalyze everything in our life, every next decision. We are overthinking it. We're overanalyzing it. We spin ourselves into overwhelm. And so we do nothing. This is like that distraction through inaction. So what I mean by that is this is when we start to scroll on social media. This is when we turn on the TV and numb out. We might use eating or alcohol or avoiding social interactions, like all of those types of things we fall into when we're underfunctioning. This might mean that you don't tell anybody that there's anything wrong with you. Like, you try to just kind of like hide away from the world, and you're distracting yourself and using these different tools to avoid feeling what you're feeling. It's the same thing. You're just doing it through a different modality. So again, so like mindless scrolling, throwing on the TV, distracting yourself through something is another way in which we start to experience fear. It's some of the signs and symptoms of like, okay, I know I'm in fear because I am like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything productive. And maybe you might be like avoiding your responsibilities. You might be procrastinating, and like, you know that there's something that you need to do, but you're not doing it. So when these things happen, when you catch yourself in these modes of behavior, first of all, know what they are. When I just said all of that, which ones ring true for you? Start to notice over the next week, what do I do when I'm sitting in fear? What are my fear signs and symptoms? Am I an overfunctioner? Am I an underfunctioner? And then have this conversation with your significant other. Have this conversation with your business partners. Have this conversation with people who are going to call you on your shit when you are in it. Because the thing about fear, and I said this in the beginning, is that it feels so real when you are in it. It feels so legitimate. Your excuses feel so legit. And so if you don't have people around you who can call you up and say, hey, like I've noticed you on your phone a lot, like scrolling through social media, is there anything that you're avoiding? Is there anything that you're trying to kind of run away from? Like, let's talk about it. Because the moment that you talk about it, the moment that you put words to it, is the moment that you decide, I'm going to take a different action here. But if you don't see it, it's just going to start to compound. And so having people in your life that know what your behavior patterns are, that know if you are, can say, hey, dude, like you're overfunctioning. What's going on? Right? Like that's a really powerful thing for you to be able to do, but it is going to require another act of courage, which is going to be vulnerable enough with somebody to talk to them about, hey, this is what happens when I'm anxious. This is what happens when I'm worried about something. This is what happens when I'm afraid to take action on something. And so I need you, I would like for you to help call me up when you see me in these behavior patterns so that I don't stay stuck here. A really powerful conversation to have, which then leads me to the next thing. So those are some signs and symptoms. And then there's like this emotional essence when it comes to fear. So when we are sitting in fear, when fear is running the show, we are not our best self. It's just a fact. And what I tend to find is that when I personally am sitting in fear, whoever my best self is, I'm like the very opposite of that. So I know when I'm sitting in a fear state, I'm pretty like, I don't like to take life too serious. When I am sitting in fear or I'm anxious about something, I take everything too serious, way too serious. Everything becomes a big deal, right? I know when I'm pretty go with the flow. When I'm trying to force things and really control things to happen, I'm sitting in a fear state. And so knowing this about yourself as well as the people around you is really important, because when they are having these emotions that are just, you're like, this is not who you are at your highest self. It's literally a cry for help. You may not realize that, they may not realize that, but it is. When somebody, you know, for somebody, it could be that they get mean, like they get angry. Maybe they start to take everything personal. Maybe they get really defensive, or they start blaming everybody for everything instead of taking personal responsibility. And they like, or they start to focus more on winning rather than like collaborating and doing what's best for everybody involved. There's so many different ways that this can pop up. But I know for me, when I'm scared, I get mean. Like I can get angry. And so as far as human design goes, knowing that like your not self theme, so every type has a not self theme. So mine as a manifesting generator is anger and frustration. Generators, yours is frustration. Projectors, yours is bitterness or like resentfulness. And manifestors, yours is anger. And reflectors, yours is disappointment. So this is a good way. This is someplace to start. Know that when you're probably sitting in fear or avoidance or whatever that looks like, you're going to feel that not self theme. But start to also understand, like, who are you at your best self? Again, this is a really fun conversation to have, is like, who am I at my best self? When I'm like operating at my highest self, who am I? What are my character traits? How do I show up in the world? And then flip it. What is the total opposite of that? And you can pretty damn well know that that means that fear is starting to run the show. And so there's something that you're not doing. There's something that you're avoiding. There's something you're trying to distract yourself from. There is something that wants to keep you stuck. Okay. So again, this is not something to take personal. When you see somebody on the other side and they're acting so out of their, like in opposition to what their highest self is, see it for what it is. It's a cry for help. They don't need, and they need somebody to bring it to the surface and say, hey, let's talk about this. What's going on? Okay, that's, now that we see it, what is the next best action you can take to move through it? And this is how you start to use fear as an activating force, because fear is always actually trying to point you in the direction of your next action step. It is trying to show you the path forward. But oftentimes that path forward requires us to do something that is uncomfortable, and therefore we want to take the path of least resistance, which is really just cowardice. It's remaining stuck in our pride rather than activating our courage. So that part is up to you, but understand that fear is really trying to give you the pathway forward. If you can see it that way, if you can understand it, if you can learn to use it that way, then this splenic center becomes one of your greatest gifts instead of one of your biggest challenges. When you learn how to align with the fear, magic will happen. And so take that in from today's episode, and really over this next week, I want you to focus in. I want you to really pay attention to what are your fear signs and symptoms. And one of the best questions, so this is your discovery prompt for this week, and maybe even actually, yes, every day this week, wake up. And before you start your day, I want you to ask yourself this one question. What am I avoiding? Because what we're avoiding in our life, it has power over us. It's the thing that is keeping us stuck. And so if we can recognize what we're avoiding and then take the action in that day to move forward. So something that seems so silly, you guys, but this is the reality, is I haven't been to the dentist in a very long time, and it has had so much power over me. And so Andrew and I, we ask each other this question in the morning. Hey, what are you avoiding? What are you avoiding? Let's bring it to the surface. Let's talk about it. And like mine was like, I'm avoiding the dentist. And so that day I picked up the phone and I made an appointment to go to the dentist. No longer does that have power over me. No longer is that taking my energy and like, just really, it's just a distraction from all the things that I could be doing that are significantly more important that would be moving me forward. I'm no longer thinking or have this thing in the back of my mind that has this like power, this grip over me. I don't like for things to have power over me. So I like to be able to see them and do what it takes to move through them. So that would be my action step, my integration step for you guys this week, is to notice your signs and symptoms. Have this conversation with somebody, talk about it, have some fun talking about these things, talk about how you would like it brought up to you. How would you want somebody else to kind of say like, hey, you're overfunctioning or you're underfunctioning. Like, how do you want that brought up so that you're both on the same page? And make it fun. Like I always, make it a funny word. You know, Andrew and I, when there is a time when, you know, those moments where you are like the other person can't do anything right. And like, you are just kind of in this funky space and it doesn't matter what the other person says, does, like you're just in this space. Well, Andrew and I, when we used to be in those spaces, we would have a code word. And the code word for us, I don't know if anybody's ever seen Couples Retreat, but when he's calling the alarm company, he has to put in the password, and the password is ass-tastic. So the password is ass-tastic. And I literally can't say that word without laughing. And so for Andrew and I, this is like a word that we use in our relationship when it's like, hey, I need to bring something to your attention, but like, I want to lighten this up a little bit. And we'll be like, dude, ass-tastic. And like, it's really hard to say it without laughing. And it's really hard to hear it without laughing. And so lighten it up and come up with some sort of code word that makes you guys giggle so that you can like, not take it so serious, see it for what it is, and then discuss, okay, now that we see it, now that it's here, what is our next forward step? And just take that step and allow yourself to activate your courage. And you can even use that wording. How am I going to activate my courage? So doing that and really just paying attention each and every day. And if you have somebody to share this with, an accountability partner, maybe send this podcast to somebody so that you guys can do this together. It's what are you avoiding today? And what are you going to do to take action on that? And this is going to go from making tiny steps forward to being able to make these massive transformations because you can see fear for what it is, which is this beautiful gift and this tool to point us in the direction of what is going to make the biggest impact on our life if we're able to overcome it, compared to this thing that we're afraid of that keeps us stuck in the same cycles and same behavior patterns. So that is what I have for you today. I cannot wait to hear what you take from this. Please tag me, send me a message. I would love to hear what your biggest takeaway was from today's episode. And don't forget to sign up for your free human design mini session. I don't know how long they will be free for. So right now is the time to get on it. We will post the link in the show notes so that you can do that. And if there's anything else that we can do to support you, please let us know. And for now, I'm going to leave you with courage over comfort. That's your mantra for this next week and maybe your entire life. Courage.